From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series on the Lord's Prayer. Dr. Cairns is now dealing with the second division of the petitions in the prayer, with specific emphasis upon the phrase, "And forgive us our debts." As Dr. Cairns has pointed out, the majority of the petitions for ourselves involve the matter of sin and its consequences in the lives of believers. Sin is a real problem, one which the Lord Jesus expects us to take seriously, for it constitutes the greatest hindrance to a Christian's prayer life. Yet the Savior also seeks to show that there is pardon for sin. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will explain what we are asking for in praying for pardon. First, we invite your attention to a devotional thought from Faith Checkbook, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotion is entitled, Maintain the Difference. The text is found in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 23. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. Pharaoh has a people, and the Lord has a people. These may dwell together and seem to fare alike. But there is a division between them, and the Lord will make it apparent. Not forever shall one event happen alike to all, but there shall be a great difference between the men of the world and the people of Jehovah's choice. This may happen in the time of judgments, when the Lord becomes the sanctuary of His saints. It is very conspicuous in the conversion of believers when their sin is put away, while unbelievers remain under condemnation. From that moment, they become a distinct race, come under a new discipline, and enjoy new blessings. Their homes henceforth are free from the grievous swarms of evils which defile and torment the Egyptians. They are kept from pollution of lust, the bite of care, the corruption of falsehood, and the cruel torment of hatred which devour many families. Rest assured, tried believer, that though you have your troubles, you are saved from swarms of worse ones, which infest the homes and hearts of the servants of the world's prince. The Lord has put a division. See to it that you keep up the division in spirit, aim, character, and company.
God's throne of grace is there for you. Ever new, His grace will meet your deepest need. He hears as you ask, He hears as you plead. Come boldly before God's throne.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, emails, and phone calls we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the Let the Bible Speak audio magazine. This is available in CD or cassette form and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of Let the Bible Speak audio magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you soon.
every time a Christian prays, every time he catches some glimpse of the glory and the holiness of God, he cannot help but feel the reality and the wickedness of his own sin. There's a sense of sin in every true Christian every time he comes to pray. And while we remain in the flesh, that problem is going to be with us. Question is, how do you deal with it? How do you deal with it? And in our text, the Lord Jesus shows us how to deal with sin as Christians. Now, this is very vital in the Christian life. If you feel here, then it will make you weak as a Christian, and it will render you incapable of any real service for the Lord. Now, there are some Christians who have such exalted claims of superior holiness that they imagine themselves to be sinless. But then there are people at the opposite end of the spectrum, and they have such light views of sin. Oh, that's not sin. Oh, you're too strict. You're too old-fashioned. Or, you've all heard those things. Now, if you want to hear the jargon of carnal professing Christians today who want to get down there into the worldliness of the age, and they want to make you feel guilty for calling a spade, and calling sin by its proper name, what do they tell you? Oh, you are a legalist. They have such light views of sin that they can do anything. Nowadays, Christians go to bars if it happens to be at the place they're working, the people with whom they're working, they're going, it's okay to go. And we have this whole big argument, a specious argument, about what the Bible teaches about wine. I have my doubts that they have anything near the truth in that as well, but that's another story. But they use these specious arguments to justify the support of a liquor traffic that is damning souls by the million, that is filling the hospital beds of America, emptying the homes of America, and cursing the children of America, all to make a bunch of people who hate God rich. And you have Christians, and they justify that. And if you stand against it, you're a legalist. Well, if that's legalism, hallelujah. I'd rather be sober and be called a legalist than to be a drunk and think I'm free. Such light views of sin. Nowadays, professing Christians think they can get away with anything. Carnal living. And then you have a third group of people. And I fear that there are a lot of Christians, sincere people who want to be godly, and this is where they come in. They live under such a burden of unworthiness that they can never resolve the guilt that gnaws at their heart. They're always feeling the weight of guilt. And however much they come confessing their sin to the Lord, it appears they get up as burdened as they went before the Lord. And those people are also unfitted for service. It's very, very important that we learn how to deal with sin in the life of a believer. As we look at the text, there are basically two things. Now, don't let that fool you, because there's a lot of things under two things that I can say. But there are basically two things that we have got to pay attention to. First, what we must do about sin. And second, what we are asking God to do about sin in our lives. First, what we must do about sin. Look at the text. Forgive us our debts. Or forgive us our sins. The very first thing we must do about it is that we must acknowledge it. Now let's even retrace our steps a little from there. We must define sin according to that book. We must define sin according to the will and word of God Almighty. We must not become trapped by the thinking of the age in which we live. We must not fall into the devil's snare of simply thinking that by being a step or two behind the world as it is today, we are therefore holy. We define sin according as the Word of God defines sin. And as the Word of God would be applied to our hearts by the Holy Spirit as we read it and meditate upon it, as we listen to the preaching of it, and the Spirit applies the Word to our hearts, convicting our conscience, showing us what is wrong in our lives, then we must acknowledge sin. That's the first step. The Lord Jesus clearly shows us that He requires this. Honest recognition of the places where we have deviated from God's law, of our debts to God and to others, and of every dereliction of the duties God has set before us, every one of them must be honestly recognized before God. Notice the words of the Savior, "Forgive us our debts." Underline the personal possessive pronoun. It is not, "Lord, have a look at him over in that pew. You see what a rascal he is. What a hypocrite he is." It's always easy to sit and point your finger at somebody else. Now, that's not to say that he may not need to have correction. But it is to say that you and I cannot hide behind the sins of others and make them our excuse. Too often we do that, you know. We're so busy blaming other people and holding them up to this high standard of Scripture that when we come ourselves, we do not hold ourselves to the same standard of Scripture. Forgive us our debts. Proverbs 28 and 13 is a very famous text that says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." The first necessity is to acknowledge your need of cleansing. Acknowledge your sin. The second necessity is a sincere desire to be rid of your sin. Not merely to be rid of the consequences of it. Now, it's quite proper to desire to be rid of the consequences of our sin, but we must also desire that we would get rid of the cause, the root, the real problem. When we come to acknowledge our sin, there must be more than simply the glib saying, "Oh yes, Lord, I have sinned, forgive my sin." That must be accompanied by a purpose to forsake sin. Notice the words again that I quoted from Proverbs 28 and 13. "Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." We are used nowadays to hearing people, politicians and preachers. Don't think the politicians and the president have the corner in this, for they don't. I could name you preachers in exactly the same position who have gone into great sin, open scandalous immorality and wickedness, or theft, or whatever. And when they're found out, oh, well, I have asked the Lord to forgive me, and now it's all right with God, so you just leave it alone. As if there should be no real forsaking. It's not all that often that I'm happy publicly to commend the statements of Jerry Falwell. But I always remember when he was on a nationally syndicated program some years back, and they were discussing the sins of preachers and what ought to be done. It was against the background of the Jimmy Swaggart scandal, and some were saying he has repented, so put him back in the pulpit. And Mr. Falwell made, I think, what was a very biblical and very sane remark. He said, there is forgiveness, and I trust that he has asked forgiveness, and if he has asked God's forgiveness, then God will forgive him. But I also believe when a minister of Jesus Christ falls that way, he will not enter the pulpit again. And he was right. Because the man of God, according to the New Testament standard, must not have anything that gives a handle to the devil. He must be unquestionably blameless. And if he's not, he can't be in the pulpit. Public testimony is very vital. But I introduced that because we go on with the Swaggart case, and he demanded, I have been forgiven, therefore I can go on. But of course, he never forsook the sin. And it wasn't long until he was back at the same rascality and wickedness again. Now listen, you must desire not just to be rid of the consequences, but of the thing itself. The Lord Jesus says, forgive us our debts, and in the very next verse, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There is the idea of getting out of the very thing itself, getting free not just from the consequences, but from the sin itself. Thomas Manton, the great Puritan preacher, said, there is required an unfeigned purpose to forsake sin. He that hath been released from his debt must not run into new arrears. He puts it very plainly, doesn't it? I mean, you would just love it if your son had run up your credit card bill to $1,000 and he hadn't a cent to pay it with. And you took it and you said, well, I will pay the debt. And he filched your credit card the very next day and ran up another $1,000. Said, but didn't you forgive me? This is what Manton's getting at. When you've been released from debt, you don't deliberately run into new arrears. And he has this powerful statement, Christ never blotted out our debts that we might renew them and go on a new course of offending God again. There must be an acknowledgement of sin and a desire to be rid of it.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc at freepress.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.